We're into the second week of our 40-day campaign, and it's going to warm up and get more exciting as we go along. It's quite intense for me, because I've got to take Rick Warren's sermons and kind of compress them into shorter sermons, because I think some of his sermons took 2 hours. I'm not sure how many of you would like me to just go through his sermons for 2 hours. You will end up with a numbum, you know, if I did. So it's quite a thing to take his 25 pages, bring them down into less pages, and not lose any of what he's trying to say. But thankfully, he repeats himself often, so it's sort of easy. Okay, so welcome to the second week of 40 days in the Word. And think about it. Once this week is over, there's only 4 after that, just in case you couldn't count. Now, what we're going to look at today is the subject of how the Bible changes us. And this is very important, because you will see how important God's Word is. And neglecting it means you actually neglect your own growth and the change that God wants to bring in your life. So the Bible is unlike any other book, and that's why we call it the Holy Bible. It's sacred. And there's a lot of good books in the world. In fact, there are a lot of great books in the world, like Mad Magazine and things like that. but this book is unlike any other book. It has a power, a supernatural power in it that no other book has to change lives. And the reason it has the power to change lives, because it is the Word of God, and it is His ownership, and therefore empowered by the Spirit. One of the staff suggested that it would be good to just state clearly that we believe in a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We don't believe in God the Holy Bible. I know there was a story out there, and I believe it's true, where a pastor once stood on a Bible, and he was illustrating, you know, you've got to stand on the Word, and some people left the church because he stood on a Bible. This is God's book. It's His book given to us. It's the manufacturer's manual. Now, I know we all have the same problem. We buy things and we never read the manual. Isn't that so? Until you get frustrated, then you phone a friend. But you're not going to read. You're not going to read the manual. Now, God has given us this manual. It's inspired by Him. It belongs to Him. And it can do great things in our lives. We need to read it. The Word of God, in other words, the spoken Word of God, is the most powerful thing in the universe. In fact, the Bible says the entire universe was created by the Word of God. God spoke it into existence. Do you get that? There was nothing. Nothing. It's hard to imagine there was nothing. No receiver of revenue, nothing. And God gave us the universe by simply speaking it into existence. And so over and over again, God speaks and things happen. It's important that we realize that God can create things and bring them into existence by the power of God's spoken word. That's enormous power. Just give you an example. There are so many thousands of examples. There's the testimony of a person who had a steel rod in the arm and went for prayer. And afterwards had x-rays done, and there was no rod there anymore. Just good bone. What was the word that was spoken? Be healed in Jesus' name. When we represent God and we speak His words, things happen. Okay? There's power in the spoken words. Well, let's go to Jesus and see what He has to say about it. Jesus said that His words were more than just words. They were spirit and life. In John 6:63, it says, "The words I've spoken to you are spirit and they are life." So in other words, they're not just words. And so Jesus is saying, when I speak, it's not just words, it's also about spiritual power. His words can produce spiritual life, things that can transform society, transform history, transform people. They can do the impossible. Remember Lazarus dead in the tomb? Jesus says, open the tomb. And he just speaks and he says, Lazarus, come out. And the guy stumbles out, all wrapped up in grave clothes. And then Jesus said to him, hello, mummy. Sorry. The power of the words that Jesus spoke could turn a dead person alive. So there's spiritual power in the Word of God. Going to Hebrews 4, verse 12, we read, for the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. And so the Word of God is actually alive. The words in this book are alive. Although they printed in ink on paper, they are alive. It's living and it's active. And the word living there in the Greek is the word zeo, which means to live. It says that the Word of God is living. It's alive, it's not just words. Do you get that? I mean, that's what the Bible says about itself. It's active. The Greek word is for powerful is the word energos, which is the word that we get the word energy from. God's word has energy. It has the power to change things. And the Word of God has the ability to cut right to the heart of any issue. It's sharper than any surgeon's skilled scalpel. The Word of God has the ability to point out what's wrong in my life, what needs to be corrected in my life, and what I need in my life. And so with that introduction, we turn to look at the ways, seven specific ways that the Word of God changes us, okay? So the first one, the word, God's Word changes me as it recreates my life. Just say the word recreates. God's Word recreates my life. Now, what does that mean? It means when my life is falling apart, God comes in and He changes it. He makes it new. He recreates it. He gives me a whole new life, a fresh start. The slate is clean. Doesn't matter what happened in the past. This is it. A new bashed life. In James 1:18, it says, He chose to give birth to us by giving us His true word. And we, out of all creation, became His prized possession. Now, it boggles my little mind. It's little mind. the enormity of creation. I mean, it is incredible. Yet God cares about me. Like a speck of dust in creation. Or even smaller than that. Cares about you. And notice that spiritual birth salvation comes through the Word of God. Now, the truth is, if it wasn't for this book, we wouldn't know that God has a purpose for our lives. Sunday Times doesn't tell you that. Neither does the report. This book tells you God has a very special plan for your life. And the wonderful thing is God is not silent. He's chosen to reveal himself because he wants us to know him. But it goes further than that. He knows everything about us, and he wants us to know him more. He desires we find out from him our life purpose. If I gave you each a piece of paper right now and I said, write down your life's purpose, do you know what it is? I know there'd be a couple of those who are really enthusiastic and say, to die one day. That's fine. Peter puts it this way in his first letter. He says, for you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. Now, the Word is like a seed planted in our life. Once it takes root in our heart, it begins to sprout and begins to grow and it begins to bear fruit. And we'll be looking at the subject of fruit down the line. Secondly, the Word of God can erase my guilt. Many people are stuck with memories from the past they can't seem to get over. Do you know anybody like that? I know a few. Now, either because people have hurt them and they suffer from resentment and rejection and all that kind of stuff, or they've hurt others intentionally or unintentionally and they live with guilt. And did you know that God doesn't want you going through life carrying a baggage of resentment or guilt in your life? God doesn't want that. Because it's non-productive. It actually messes you up. Did you know that God wants you to be free of past hurts? If you're sitting here and you're still sucking up the past hurts, I'll never forget what my father did to me. I'll never forget what, never. That stunts your growth. Because you're living in the past, not in the future. God wants you free from past hurts, disappointments, shame, whatever has happened in your life. And did you know that God uses this thing called His Word to eradicate this stuff? In 1 John 1:9, we read, if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. So this book tells us that if we confess our sins to the Father, He's faithful and He'll forgive us and He'll clean us. So we don't have to carry on living in stuff that is unacceptable. Romans 8:1, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. Jesus died for us. He paid the penalty of our sin. The sin we did in the past, the sin we're doing now, and the sin we'll do in the future. He paid the penalty of it. Finished. You mean God's not going to punish me for all the things I've done wrong in my life? Nope. Some people think God is punishing them. He doesn't do that. Why doesn't he punish us? Because Jesus took the punishment we deserved on the cross, and there's no condemnation. When God looks at you and me, and we know none of us are perfect, he looks through the lens called Jesus. And what he sees is people whom his son died for, whose blood has cleansed them. That is such a guilt reliever, shame reducer, regret eradicator, hurt resolver, and so on. The Bible is given to cleanse our lives from all the stuff that has crippled us from past negative events. God is always a God of hope and a good future. In Romans 12:2, it says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." Folk, that's where all our problems are. Our brain and all the junk that it contains. To set us free, God has to deal with the brain, with our memories, and all the other stuff that's in the brain. So how it works is I take the word and I fill my mind with it, and it washes my mind, it washes my body. It cleanses the dirt, the junk, the grime, the grit, the shame, and the sin all out of my life. That's what God's word does. It makes me clean inside. It's a spiritual cleansing so that my guilt is eradicated. Some people have a problem loving themselves. Once God has removed your guilt, your shame, and all the rest of it, you'll love yourself because you'll know that you're special in the sight of God. Self-hate is a bad thing. Jesus once told the 12 disciples this. He said, "You've already been pruned and purified by the word, the logos, that I've given you." So the words that I've spoken to you have had a cleansing power. And so for us, there's a cleansing power in the Bible when we read it. It teaches me truth, and the truth removes the guilt out of my life. Number three, God's word activates my faith. So not only is there cleansing power in the Bible, it also activates my faith. Most of us need some activation today. Some of you are suffering from what I call flat tire faith. You need a little bit of pumping up. You need the Holy Spirit to blow fresh air into your life. It's so important because it gives me confidence to move forward in life. And you know what I've discovered? That many people are not confident, not courageous. They have a fear of the future, afraid to take risks, and afraid seriously of the future. Should have said earlier, failure, and now future. People are filled with all kinds of fears, and they're not walking confidently because they're not people of faith. Faith is activated by the word. Romans 10:17 says this, "So then, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message comes through preaching Christ." If you've been to a church service or you're in a Bible study and you've heard the word of God, and all of a sudden you've thought the thought similar to this, I can do this. You've just had your faith activated by the word of God. And that's how God works, by his Spirit. This is the difference between the Bible and self-help books. I've read so many of them. 30 ways to lose weight, 25 ways to lose weight, 10 ways you can really lose weight, 3 ways to guarantee weight loss. Yeah, right, they all worked, didn't they? Self-help books often tell you some good stuff, no doubts about it. They tell you the right thing to do. They just don't give you the power to do it. You read a self-help book that says, if you really want to succeed in life, you need to stop worrying. Yeah, that's helpful. Give up your bad habits. That's also good. Stop thinking so negatively. But you don't know how to stop. It'll tell you all the right things to do, and they write about a number of those things. But you don't have the power because those books aren't the living word of God. If this book tells you to do something and you apply it, it will happen. Because it's backed by God himself. So in contrast, the power of God's word not only tells us what to do, but it gives us the power to do it. It increases our faith to achieve God's purposes for our life. Number 4, the Bible can stimulate my growth. Chocolate does it, but it's not spiritual growth. Okay. God's word stimulates my spiritual growth. It recreates my life, lets me start over and over and over and over and over and over again. You just got to think of a motor car. How does it go places? It has to start over and over and over and over. If it doesn't start, you're going nowhere, right? So God gives us a new start. Over and over and over, because he wants us to change. So when I'm born again, fresh start. It eradicates my guilt, wipes the slate clean, it activates my faith. Then as I start increasing in faith, it stimulates my spiritual growth. Paul says to the people of the city of Ephesus, whom he may not see again, he leaves this message with him. He says, now I'm turning you over to God. That's the best thing you can do. Our marvelous God, whose gracious word can make you into what he wants you to be and give you everything you could possibly need in this community of holy friends. Those are wonderful words, eh? So if I was leaving today, I could say this to all the new members who came in. I'm turning you over to God, our marvelous God, whose gracious word can make you into what he wants you to be and to give you everything you could possibly need in this community of holy friends. Powerful words. I guess you all know what an inheritance is. Some of you are hoping to get one day. Some of you are trying to spend it before your kids get it. An inheritance is what you get for being part of a family that's rightfully yours. So when you become a follower of Jesus, when you put your life in Christ's hand, when you trust him for salvation, you're not just a believer, you are a belonger. You become part of God's family. And now you get family privileges, which is great. And the Bible says we have an inheritance. a spiritual inheritance, not just here on earth, but eternally in heaven. I want to go to Timothy chapter 3, because Timothy says something amazing about God's word. He says, all scripture is inspired. In other words, God breathed. Inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. You want to do good works? You want to bless God by being good? You want to do the things that he wants you to do? Well, read the Bible and let him tell you what to do and do it. That's how it works. So scripture is useful for four things: teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All of which God uses to prepare and equip his people to do every good work that God wants us to be doing. So, teaching shows me the path to walk on, the way to make it in life. Rebuking shows me where I fell off the path and fell into the ditch. Note, I want you to note this. It's not that it is the word that does the rebuking, not others. We don't have license to criticize others. Correcting. It shows me how to get back on the right path. And then training in righteousness shows me how to stay on the path. So the purpose of the Bible is to help us live out the purpose God has for our lives, so that we will be well equipped, we'll have all we need, we will be prepared, and we'll be ready to face life and do so strongly. God uses the Bible to illuminate my mind. God wants to light up. You know, we have that saying, the lights are on, but nobody's home. But he wants to light it up when we're home. Okay. So how does God turn the light on in our brain? Well, in Psalm 119, verse 130, it says, the teaching of your word gives light so that even the simple can understand. So you don't have to be a learned person. You don't have to be, you know, have many degrees. You're just a simple person. God can light up your mind. And God's desire is to bring light to every one of our minds. He wants to light up our minds with the truth of who he is. See, we need to get a vision of who God is. He wants to put the lights on so that we get the truth of the next step or direction to take in our lives, with the truth of how to handle the feelings we're having, the truth of how to handle relationship difficulties, or the relation successes that we have. Everything in life's got to be handled correctly. So when you soak your mind in the Word, God turns the light on. He helps you to see things with a different perspective, different way. And once that happens, he gives you the opportunity to do something else. What you were doing might have been okay, but it was not good. It was not God's best for you. So when the light goes on, you do what's best for you. And Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. He turns the light on so we can have direction in our lives. But it gives just enough light for the next few steps of our life. You know, most of us, we really want God to, spell out the whole future. Okay? You know, just tell us all the good and all the bad that's going to happen in the next 50 years that I live. I want to know it. And God says, no, then you're not going to live by faith. and you're going to try and direct things. I'll give you enough light for the next few steps. And you follow those steps, and then I'll give you more. That sort of messes with us, doesn't it? That's why a lot of people go to people who have a prophetic gift, and they say, tell me, what's God got to say to me? And they're hoping, oh, that it gets spelt out, you know, pages and reams of paper, so that they can just read it and know that things are going to go well. God says, you walk with me, it's going to go well. Okay. Now, God's word can lift my mood. Any of you feeling depressed today? Yeah, just keep smiling and I won't recognize you. Some of you may really need a mood lifter right now. Why? Because you're down in the dumps and you're feeling a little grumpy. Just feel him, he's sitting right next to you. And you're feeling like nobody cares. And the worst thing is you're having a pity party of one and you're only inviting yourself. There could be genuine reasons for this. Maybe you're still recovering from the COVID pandemic. You may have lost loved ones. You may have lost a job. You may have been very sick yourself. You may still be suffering some of the, what do you call it? Yeah, that stuff. Or you're getting really emotionally messed up with the present load shedding that's being imposed on us. How many of you smile every time the power goes out? There's just a few of you who've managed somehow to raise enough money that you don't feel the blackouts. And then there's some people who are privileged and live in places that they don't have blackouts. You know, the one thing I know about life that I've discovered for all my life, life's not fair. But we only have to live one day at a time and make the most of it. So, this will be helpful to some. Whenever you get discouraged, you don't need a coffee break, you need a word break. God gave us the Bible to encourage us. It's a mood lifter. Now, how do we know that? Well, Romans 15:4. Such things were written in scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Scriptures give us hope and encouragement. So as we're going through tough times, you will find encouragement in God's word. So that's why we need a little bit of a alone time with God every day. Now, we call it a quiet time, and I don't really care what you call it. My daily devotion, my personal inspiration time, whatever. But it's a little time where you get quiet and you spend time with God and you read and meditate on his word. You read his word and you talk to him about it and you listen to what he wants to say to you. This week in your small group, Rick Warren's going to teach you the four essentials for a good quiet time and the six steps of how to do it. Only six. In Psalm 119, verse 14, it says, I delight far more in what you tell me about living than in gathering a pile of riches. God's got so much to tell us about living life at its best, which is worth more than anything else. So the Word of God is meant to give you hope. The Word of God is meant to renew you. The Word of God is meant to encourage you. And yay, we are number seven. The Word liberates my potential. It releases it. And this is so important. Only God, our Creator, knows our potential fully. We don't know our full potential. Our parents don't know our full potential. Mine aren't around anymore to tell me my future. Your husband or your wife doesn't know your full potential. Your friends don't know your full potential. Your boss doesn't really know your full potential. And now the shocker. Your church leadership hasn't got a clue. We know that. There we go. You see, the only person who knows our full potential is the one who gave us life. He destined each of us for a specific purpose. We didn't come out of a mold that we're all the same, that all our giftings are exactly the same. We're all different. There's not two people who look the same here today. We don't speak the same. We don't live the same. Only God knows what you're truly capable of. And so you've got to spend time in God's Word to get out the boxes that other people have put you in. Many people live for the expectation and approval of others. They worry, what will other people think if I do this or do that or do this? And this really prevents them from reaching their own potential. I don't know, some of you may have grown up hearing things like this. You can't do that. You'll never be good at that. Why can't you be like your brother? You're not going to be worth much. You will never amount to anything. Anybody ever have anything similar said to you in your life? Could have been a teacher, your parent. Could have been your small brother. Could have been a pastor. Bottom line, these are all lies from a pit of hell designed to destroy God's purpose for our lives. You break the curses that others have spoken over your life. Only God knows the full potential of your greatness, the impact of your life. And only He can unlock the potential. You can't unlock it yourself. You see, the Holy Spirit has to work in you, make the changes that allow you to become what God intends you to be. Jesus said this, in John 8, verse 31, it says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So what's that mean? It means the word, the truth, will unlock you. It will liberate you. It'll set you free. Whatever you've been boxed in as, it'll break the box. It'll make you able to do things you never thought you could ever possibly do. It will set you free. And that's where verses like, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me," come straight out of the Bible. That's a good verse for those who say, "I can do nothing." It's the antidote to that kind of mindset. So, that's why we're doing 40 days in the Word. Let's stand.